We covered the salvation. We've covered, worked through the salvation plan. And then last week, we talked about the Holy Ghost in a little bit different aspect. We talked about the Holy Ghost beyond the salvation plan. That a lot of times when we think as Pentecostals, we think of the Holy Ghost, and it is a step of salvation. It is a step of salvation. The scripture says that you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. There's no getting around that. It is a part of salvation. But it goes beyond salvation also. That the Holy Ghost is a gift that is put inside of us. That it is to help us. It is a comforter. It is to walk with us. And it is to keep us. When the disciples went to the upper room, they went there not because of a salvation plan, but because Jesus told them that they were going to receive power from upon high. After they received it, they came to the realization of what all God had been talking about. But to that moment in time, they understood that they were about to receive a gift that was going to help them, that it was going to empower them, that it was going to lead them, that it was going to walk with them, that it was going to comfort them. And sometimes we forget that it's more than, it's part of salvation's plan, but it's also something that can help us in our lives and our walk with God. It says John 16:7. I love this scripture because it shows how important the Holy Ghost was to Jesus. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." John 14:26 explains to us what the Comforter is. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us today, O God, that you would anoint and use, that your Spirit would move and flow in this place, God, that your will and your way would be done. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Last week, as we begin to talk about the different things that the Holy Ghost does, we talked about in Acts 1:8 that it is power from upon high. We talked about in 1 Corinthians 2:11 that it is knowledge that God has given us, that he will speak into our lives things that we do not know. We talked about in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that it is a peace and that it is a help that can help us. We talked about Romans 8:26. It talks about praying in the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost will help us pray in situations that we don't know anything about. We talked about in 1 John 2:20 that the Holy Ghost is a discernment and unction of the Holy One, that we can know all things, that God can speak to us. We talked about in 2 Peter 1:21 that God gives us words, that he can speak to us, that in a moment in time that somebody has a question, somebody's in pain, somebody is hurting, that God can speak through us into somebody's life. In Romans 8:14, we talked about that the Spirit beareth witness unto us, that it can lead us and guide us, that it can walk with us, that it can show us. Talked about guidance in 2 Corinthians 3:3. We talked about the will of God, how that it'll show us the will of God in Acts 13:2. This morning we covered, I guess that's about 10 different subjects that we covered last week. We're going to cover about another 10 this morning of things that the Bible says the Holy Ghost does for us. It's hard to believe that we can come up with 20 different things that are beyond salvation. Amen. That we've got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then God says, guess what? It's not just a part of the plan, but it's something that's going to bless you and keep you and help you as you move on this earth. In Galatians 4:5, he says that it will be a part to remind you and to help you to understand that you are adopted of God. Because it says in Galatians 4:5, it says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. What does the Spirit? Jesus said, I am with you, but I will be in you. That he sent the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to be in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, we are no longer more servants, but we are sons. And if a son, then we are heirs of God through Christ. That the Holy Ghost is the evidence that we have become heirs to Christ, that we have become a part of the kingdom of God, that it is something that when it happens, that when Satan says that God doesn't love you, you can say, you don't understand, I've been engrafted into the family. When Satan says that your daddy's an alcoholic and you're going to be an alcoholic, you can say, you don't understand, I've been engrafted into a new bloodline. Now, they're my family and I love them, but I don't have to be that way. That you don't understand that I'm heirs and joint heirs. The scripture says that there's something powerful about when I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that God says, you are mine. And not only are you are mine, but the benefits that come with being my child is also going to be a part of what you are now. My first car I paid $150 for. 1983 Toyota Celica. It was a beautiful piece of rust. And I tend to have buddies that they were a little bit higher class than I was. And I'd come home and I would tell my dad, I said, Sammy just got a new truck. And David, his parents bought him a BMW. And he would look at me and say, well, their parents must love them more than we love you. There were benefits to being a part of that family, amen. There were benefits to being a part of a family that had money. And there's something about the benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. There's something about the benefits of being engrafted into being sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Acts 10 and 19, it begins to speak here. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, that God spoke to him through a vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. That the Holy Ghost can speak to you. That I've talked to people, even in this church, that there has been dreams that have happened in their life that they've woken up and they knew that it was from God. I was talking to a mother just the other day and she was telling me that God gave her a dream and she called her son and she began to talk to him about it. That this is what God, and she says, it's only happened to me twice in my life, but I knew that it was from God and that God spoke to Peter and he told him that, you know what, I'm sending men to you, that I'm going to lead you and guide you. Because of the Holy Ghost being able to speak into Peter's life, because of Peter being sensitive to God and sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that God was able to speak to him. He was able to send him to Cornelius's house because he'd already spoken to Cornelius and told him that I'm going to send. He sent an angel unto Cornelius, but God spoke through the Holy Ghost unto Peter. You see, a lot of times we say, well, if an angel would come, then I could believe it. If an angel would come, then if he could write it on the wall, then I would know that it's true. I would know that that's what God wants. I'd know I could understand that that's what God's doing. But see, he didn't have the Holy Ghost already. But Peter had already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He had to speak to through Cornelius by an outside being. But he spoke to Peter through the baptism of the Holy Ghost that he had inside of him. That you've got to understand that when God lives on the inside of you, you don't have to have an angel to explain it to. You don't have to have a burning bush experience. You've just got to be sensitive to what God is trying to speak into your heart and into your mind. In Acts 13 and 2, it was the Holy Ghost. It says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, it was the Holy Ghost said, separate me and Barnabas and Saul. It says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work thereunto that I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. This was not an audible voice that God began to speak to the leaders of the church at that time. But as they prayed, God began to deal with each one of them separately. That there are men that I want you to send, and God began to deal with him. There's something powerful about when you got a word from God in a prayer meeting, and you got a word from God in a prayer meeting, and they got a word from God in the prayer meeting, and you get together and you've all got the same word. Amen? That's when you understand that you know that it is God. That they were in one mind, in one accord in the upper room. That when all of a sudden things begin to align and mesh together, we might have different ideas of ways, that might have different thoughts of things. We might have different personalities. Some of us are outgoing, and everybody we meet, we're friends with, and we know everybody. And some of us, we've just got a close circle of friends, and we're very different than somebody that would be an extrovert. We're an introvert, and this is the way that we do things. But there's something about it. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert, an introvert. It doesn't matter if you're a lover or a fighter. There's something about being in one mind, in one accord, that you might do it this way and I might do it that way, but we're all headed in the same direction with the same goal, and that God can speak into the hearts and the minds of each person. And even though we're all different, that God can set us on the same path, in the same direction, in the same desire for the same revival. The Holy Ghost began to speak to these men separately, allowing them to understand who it was that he wanted them to go and to do the work of the Lord at that moment in time. That God can speak, that he can select people, that when you begin to pray and y'all begin to fast and search, that there's something about it that God can lead and guide. And it's the Holy Ghost that led those men for that to happen. John 16 and 13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak for himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come." He said that he will come in a spirit of truth. John 4 and 6 says, "For it says, we are of God, and he knoweth," it says, "and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby now we," the Spirit of truth, says, "hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error." There's something about knowing the Spirit of truth. There's something about knowing when something is right and something is wrong. That when you hear something and there's something inside of you that says, that's not right. I've had people try to explain as people that are peers, that as we would sit down and they begin to take a little bit different path than the path that I wanted to travel, and they would begin to try to explain to me what they believed and what they thought was supposed to happen, and how that they thought that some things were a little bit different, and that because of society and the way things are now, that there are some things that needed to be changed. And as we sat there and talked, there was something inside of me that was just saying, that get away from this. Don't listen to this. This isn't right. This isn't truth. This isn't the Spirit of truth. There's something going on here. And my flesh says, ooh, that sounds good. But something inside said, that's not right. Something inside said, oh, it sounds good. It sounds easy. It sounds like that would be the simple way to do it. That sounds like, ooh, that grace, and all we've got to do is just accept, and he'll take care of everything. And that sounds wonderful, but something inside says that I've got to change. Something inside says that that's not correct. Something inside says that I've been put on this earth not to be who I want to be and just rely on all of that, but there's something inside that says I've got to become more like him. I've got to allow his Spirit to move and flow in my life. I remember one time I was talking to a lady, and this lady was doing everything that she could to destroy her family. In her mind, she was doing what was right. In her mind, she was doing what she thought that she was supposed to be doing. She was educating them. She was making sure that they were getting scholarships in college. She was making sure that they were doing everything that they were supposed to do, that one day that they would be successful in society. But she was doing nothing to ensure their salvation. And I was talking to her one day, and I was trying to allow her to get her children to be able to go to youth camp. But there were band camps, and there were school camps, and there were this camp and that camp, and all of these other things that she wanted them to go to that summer. And they were far more important than her kids going to youth camp. And I'd been in a time of fasting and prayer. I'd been in a time of getting close to God, and and it was like God was fresh and he was close to me. And as I was sitting there talking to her, all of a sudden something inside of me began to burn. And something inside of me, it was like that I felt myself getting angry. And I know what Jared feels like when he's angry, and I'm sitting here. But it was different. It was like the anger was from here down, but up here everything was normal. And I said, that is weird. And she got done talking. I didn't say anything to her because I'd never felt anything like that before. I walked away and I got away from her. And I just went and did my own thing for a little while. And it was like something was burning inside of me. It was like there was something that was angry that was going on inside of me. We went out to eat and I was sitting there at the dinner table and I couldn't even talk. And I just sat there and I just minded my own business because it was just like there was something inside of me that was frustrated, that was angry. And I went home and I was preaching that afternoon, and I finally I got down on the floor. I said, God, you've got to do something with this. I don't understand what's going on inside of me. I forgave her. I did everything that I knew to try to calm myself down, but there was like something inside that wasn't right. And finally I called one of my elders. I said, what is going on? And he said, have you ever heard of a righteous indignation? I said, yeah. He said, you've been getting close to God and you've been trying to find him, and you've been on a journey to get close to him. He says, God's allowing you to feel what he feels when something like that begins to anger him and frustrate him. And I sat there and tears began to roll down my face because it was the weirdest thing, because here everything was normal, but everything in here, it was like there was a rumbling and there was something going on. I never felt anything quite like it at that moment in time. And hi, God, you got to take it away. That night as I walked to the pulpit, I walked to the platform. God, you got to do something with this. I can't go to the pulpit feeling what I'm feeling. And then God reached down and he took it away. But it was at that moment in time, I felt what God, so there was something going on inside that I'd never felt before. I've never felt it like that again to this day. But at that moment in time, God allowed me to feel something in my Holy Ghost that I'd never felt before, that when there was something about the frustration of a woman that was dragging her kids straight to hell, and there was something inside of me that it like rose up, and it wasn't Jared. That's what was so weird about it. It wasn't me, but there was something inside that was frustrated and not happy with the situation. That you've got to understand that when you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, if there's something wrong, if you try to be sensitive to God, he'll let you know if it's right or if it's wrong. God, help me to feel right about, or help me to think right about right and feel wrong about wrong. Help me to keep my mind on the things that are good and right, and help me to feel wrong about the things that are bad in my life. Help me to feel wrong about the things that will destroy me. Help me to feel wrong about the things that are going to lead me down the wrong path. Help me to feel wrong about conversations that are going to start in a direction of destruction. Help me to feel wrong about the people in my life that are not a positive aspect, but they're trying to pull me in a different direction, and they're trying to show me a path that's not going to be good for my life. That when you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that Spirit of truth, can live inside of you, that he will show you, that he will lead you, and that he will guide you, that he will help you, and that he will protect you, that there's something powerful about this Holy Ghost that God has put inside of us. We read in Acts 16 and 6, it talks about how that Paul was wanting to go and preach in a certain area, and the scripture says the Holy Ghost forbid him. That he's wanting to go. He's ready to go. He wants to be there. He wants to preach the gospel. He's wanting to do what it is that God called him to do. And the Holy Ghost stepped down and said, I'm sorry, but that's not where you need to be right now. I have no idea why God stopped him from going to that place. I don't understand why God would have stopped him from going and ministering the gospel to that country, but maybe that country wasn't ready yet. Maybe his ministry wasn't going to be received, but somebody like Andrew's ministry would have been received. There's something powerful about the Holy Ghost that even in the midst of his zeal, that he was being zealous and wanting to do the work of God, that even at that moment in time, God could step in and say, hey, I know that this is where you want to be, but if you'll let me, I'll take you to where I need you to be. If you'll let me, I know you think this is where you need to be, but if you'll let me, I'll take you to where I can really use you in revival. I know this is the part, the place where you want to be and the things that you want to do, but if you let me, I'll take you and I'll use you and I'll put you in the place that you need to be. That's what's awesome about having the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that it's not just a step of salvation, but it is a part of a life that God has given us. It is literally a help. It is a comforter. It is a help that walks with us and talks with us and helps us and moves us and protects us and watches over us and helps us to make the decisions that we need. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says it like this: "For which things also we speak, not in the words that of which is man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the spiritual things." It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost. For they are foolish unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is of spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who knows the mind of the Lord? How are we to know the mind of the Lord? That he might instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. See, you've got to understand that when you have the mind of Christ, then you do the will of Christ. That when you have the mind of Christ, the scripture's talking about that the Holy Ghost will teach you, the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you, the Holy Ghost will help you with spiritual things. How are we supposed to know the things of the Lord? And then the scripture says, why? Because you've got the Spirit living inside of you. And if you'll be sensitive to this Holy Ghost that he's given you, that he'll give you the mind of Christ. If you'll listen to God when he speaks to you and he impresses things upon you and he leads you and guides you, that you can have the mind of Christ in your life. And if you have the mind of Christ, then you'll do the will of Christ. I don't have anybody to witness to. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost in your life. He'll lead you. You'll have the mind of Christ. I don't know what to say to them. The scripture says, you don't understand. You've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. If you've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, and you'll pay attention to it, and you'll understand what it is that you've got, that you can literally have his thoughts, his desires, his purpose, and his place in your life. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That there's a hunger inside of us that longs for him. That there's a hunger inside of us that longs for the Father. That in 1 Corinthians 2:10 it says, "But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, saveth the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." That there's something about having this Holy Ghost inside of us that makes us long for the deeper things of God. If we'll listen to it, if we'll be sensitive to it, there's something inside of us that's not satisfied with where we are, but God, I want to know more of you, God. I want to be closer to you. That there's something about the Spirit that longs for the deep things of God, that longs for the deep things of what God is doing in your life and in this world. And if we allow his Spirit to have freedom in our life, then there's something about it that it creates a hunger inside of us. That at one time there was never a hunger and a desire to be holy, but now for whatever reason there's something inside of me that longs to be holy. That there was nothing inside of me that longed to be a good man or to be somebody that would be faithful or somebody that would be somebody that others could look up to. But now there's something inside that it longs to be what God would want me to be. God, make me be a better husband. Help me to be a better Christian. Help me to be a better boss on my job. Help me to be more like you. Help me to be somebody that they could respect. Help me to be somebody that could be led of you. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He said that there's something about that hunger and desire for the things of God, that when you hunger for it, you shall be filled with it. I've said it before, but that word righteousness literally means the character of God. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after the character of God, for they shall be filled full of the character of God. That when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that there's something placed inside of us. If we'll allow this gift that God has given us to move and flow, that it'll create a hunger inside of us that'll take us to places we never thought that we could go. I can never be saved because I could never change. But when you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, there's something powerful about it. That hunger inside will take you places that you never thought you could go. That hunger inside will help you be different than you ever thought that you could ever be. John 6 and 63 talks about life. It is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, that profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There's something about when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that it is life that is breathed into you. There's something about that life that sparks something new and alive inside of you. Romans 8 and 11, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. The spirit, what spirit? The Holy Ghost that dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. That life is breathed inside of you. A lot of times we receive the Holy Ghost and then it just seems like it was just a part of the salvation plan, and we get into battles and we get into fights and we get into the world as it pushes against us, and life just has its way of tearing us down, and it just seems like there's no life left. You need to get into the presence of God and you need to let him breathe that life back into you. You need to get into the presence of God and stir up that Holy Ghost and say, God, I remember when you filled me full of it and I was excited and there was joy, but I'm not feeling it at this moment, God, and it's been a while since I've allowed you to move and flow in my life. You've got to keep going back to that well and filling it back up again, because you never lose the Holy Ghost, but with life it's like we just keep packing things down on top of it, and we just keep putting more on top of it with job and family and children and lust and sin and junk, and we just pack it down and we keep packing it down. And there's got to come a place that you come to an altar and say, God, I got to get some of this junk out of me. I got you to fill me back up one more time. I got to have you fill me full of the Holy Ghost one more time. Paul said it best. He said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, he said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Paul understood the power of his relationship with God and the gift of tongues and the value that he placed on it in his devotional life before God. Paul understood as he wrote that I've got to have God stirred up in my life. I've got to have God moving and flowing inside of me. That it's not just a part of the salvation plan, but I've got to have it stirred up every day. I've met people that God filled them full of the Holy Ghost, and 40 years later, they never spoke in tongues again. And it was like they didn't ever even hardly receive it. Some of them were some of the most, they caused more trouble in churches than I've ever seen anybody cause all by themselves. So you've got to understand that it's not just a one-time experience. But Paul said, I die daily. That this is something that can happen every day. Every day I can go to the well and I can be refreshed. Every day I can have him fill me back up before I go to work. work on Monday, I can get down and God can fill me up again. That when I step out my door to go to work, that there can be a pep in my step. And when the world says I should be down, they don't understand. I've got a connection with an almighty, awesome God, that he's moved and flowed in my spirit, that he's picked me up when everybody else says that I should be down. You don't understand where I've been with my Jesus and what he's done inside of me. I talked just a little bit about it last week, but it says in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you hath received of him abideth in you. That if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are anointed of God. Oh, I'm not anointed. They're anointed. Man, they can sing. They're anointed. Oh, they're anointed. Man, have you heard them quote scripture? They're anointed. No, if you've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, you're anointed of God. You're anointed of God on your job. You're anointed of God in your home. You're anointed with your family on Thanksgiving. You're anointed when you drive down the street all by yourself. That anointing which you hath received of him abide in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as he had taught you, ye shall abide in him. You've got to understand that this anointing that abides in you, say, I don't know how to pray. I really don't know how to do it. Hey, God, teach me to pray. God, I don't know how to teach a Bible study. God, teach me to teach a Bible study. Help me, God. Lead me and guide me. Show me the books. Have you ever prayed that God would lead you to the books that you need to read in your life? Some of you need to start praying. God, I'm struggling with some stuff in my life. Lead me to scriptures and books that can help me in the situation that I'm struggling in. Let your words speak to me. Ask God. God, help me, God, to be sensitive. You don't know how many times I've been walking through a bookstore and I've asked God, God, I need some information in this certain situation. I've been walking through Walmart and they got their little book section and their little kiosk there and there's nothing on it. And all of a sudden I come across exactly what I was wanting, just sitting there. There's something about it when you begin to ask God to help you. God will help you. He'll teach you. He'll lead and guide you. He'll put people in your life that can help you. He'll put places and things and information in your life that can lead you and guide you. Amen? It's not just something that we did a long time ago. It should be a part of our life every day. It shouldn't just be something that I did in an altar when I was in the third grade. It should be something that I allow to be a part of my life. We've almost talked about 20 different attributes of the Holy Ghost that can be a part of everybody's life in this room. That you can have this in your life every day. That it's not just something that you do, but it is attributes that God adds to your life to lead and guide you and help you and strengthen you and to help you to walk this path. Matthew 12:27 says, I like this one. It says, and if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. They're saying that, oh, he's of Satan. He's casting out devils of Satan. He's casting out devils under the power of Satan. And Jesus turns and looks at him and says, Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub. That would put him against himself. He said, but if I come unto you and I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost. He says, if I come unto you and I cast out devils by the Holy Ghost. He says, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now let me explain that a little bit. This last Friday I was at a wedding. There's a young man there that is fixing to go to Afghanistan. He's going to lead a battalion of tanks. And when he steps off that plane in Afghanistan, he's not going to be there under the power of Micah. He's not going to be there under the power. He will have his own strength. He will have his own thoughts and his own ability. But there isn't anybody in Afghanistan that is that worried about his own strength and his own powers and his own abilities. But what happens is he doesn't go under the name of Micah. He goes under the name of the kingdom of the United States of America. And what comes with that is authority and power. There's something about it that when he steps off that plane, that it's not not just him, but it is the power of an entire army that is with him, that is a part of it, that goes with it. I read the story of a tank that was an Allied tank, but it was moving through a U.S. A military area that they're there in Iraq. And one soldier came and stood in front of that tank, and he told that tank, this is not a shortcut. This is where the United States of America is dwelling. You need to turn around and go back from where you came. That tank was stronger than that man. That tank could have crushed that man. That tank was covered in weapons. But it wasn't just the man that stood there and told the tank that turned around. It was the country that stood behind him that gave him the authority to say, if you don't turn around, you're going to have trouble. See, you've got to understand that when you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost inside of you, when you step out, it's just not under the power of Brian Thompson. It's not just under the power of Brother Champagne, but you step out. He said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. That when the Holy Ghost begins to move and flow, that when I cast out devils in the name of the Holy Ghost, that you've got to understand that the kingdom of God has come unto you. That the authority of an almighty, awesome God, it's not just you all by yourself, but it is the authority of the kingdom of an almighty, awesome God that comes with you. Oh, it's just little old me. No, you don't understand. I'm a part of a bigger kingdom. Oh, my prayers don't matter. You don't understand. It's not just little old you stepping off that plane, but there is a kingdom of authority that comes behind. There's something powerful about it that when you step out and you begin to pray, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is coming to you. What are you saying? Kingdom authority steps out and says, devil, you've got to be gone. Kingdom authority steps out and says, disease, you've got to leave. Kingdom authority steps out and binds. I don't have the power to bind a spirit. I don't have the power to pray and get somebody be healed. I don't have the power to pray and somebody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All of that comes from him. But because that I've been engrafted into his family, and there's something inside that cries, Abba, Father, there's an inheritance that comes with it that makes me a part of the kingdom of God. And then when I pray for the sick to be healed, it is his power that worketh through me that moves. When I bind devils and spirits that come against my family, it's not just me, but it's the power that comes through me that God has placed on our lives. It is his authority that begins to move and flow. The Holy Ghost. I've read stories of one man walking through the desert, and you read of those Iraqis coming up and 20 and 30 of them throwing their guns at their feet and surrendering. He had no power by himself against them, but the authority that was behind him had power. You've got to understand that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the kingdom has come nigh unto you. And when you pray, that kingdom has come nigh unto you. The best part of the Holy Ghost is right here, Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I have travailed in birth again. That means Paul said that I've travailed for you one time before. I travailed that you would be born into this. I travailed that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I travailed that you would be birthed. He said, but I have another travail today. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That it wasn't just enough for me to be birthed into this. Now Christ has to be formed in me. And the only way that Christ can be truly formed in me is if I allow him to live inside of me and to help me and to change me, to make me and to mold me. That there are things that I'll never be able to lay down all by myself, but if I've got the power of an almighty, awesome God inside of me, I'll be able to lay them down. If I'll allow his spirit to move move and flow in my life. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says it like this. Now the Lord that is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open faces beholding as in the glass of glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That there's something powerful about the Spirit that lives inside of us, that we are changed into the same image, that if we'll allow this Holy Ghost that He's given us, that we received that day when we spoke in other tongues, if we'll allow that Spirit to lead us and guide us, if we'll allow that Spirit to move us into places of glory, if when the Spirit of God begins to move, instead of shutting it down and locking it up and turning everything off and gripping that pew and minding our own business, if we would allow that Spirit to move and flow, if we would allow it to take us into places of glory, that He says we are changed from glory to glory. It's awesome that I've been born into this, but Paul said, I've travailed another time, that there's created something else in you, that Christ be formed in you, that this Holy Ghost can help me become more like Him, that if I'll be sensitive to it and I'll allow Him to move and flow in my life, that He'll change me, He'll lead me, and He'll guide me. I used to work in a restaurant, and I was the cook, and poor people. I did it for 3 years. And when I got done working in that restaurant, I was done cooking. I'd cooked for thousands of people, and I was tired of it. And so I didn't cook again for years. And the other day, I was thinking about going back and starting cooking again. I mean, I got all these master chefs laying around here now. I need to learn and start doing some of this myself. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, man, I don't even know where I would start. It's been so long since I cooked anything. Man, I'd probably burn it. I don't know what I'm going to do. It didn't matter how good I could cook back then. I kind of put it on the back burner, and now it's not even really a part of my life anymore. I used to be able to speak Spanish growing up in Spanish-speaking culture. I could hold a conversation. We could go to Mexico, and I could conversate, buy stuff, communicate. I'd grow up, and most of my friends growing up were Hispanic. I lived in their homes. We would stay the night over there. The church there in Odessa is 50% Hispanic, and I could conversate. I was gone 11 years. I can barely order Mexican food now at a white Mexican restaurant. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. And the Holy Ghost is the same way. You might not ever lose it. It's yours. It's a gift that God has given you. But if I don't use it, it becomes of a non-effect in my life. The things that God could do in my life, He can't do because I'm not allowing it to happen, because I've packed so much stuff on top of it. Or maybe I haven't packed it on top of it, but I don't fully understand what it is that He wants to do with this Holy Ghost in my life. And so I just treat it as a part of the salvation plan, and I never fully grow into what it is that God could be doing in my life. Paul looked at Timothy and said, neglect not the gift. Don't forget about it. Don't walk away from it. Don't neglect it. Don't forget that it's a part of your life. Don't forget that this is more than just something that happened to you when you were a child. Don't forget that this is just something that happened to you 10 years ago. Don't forget that this is just something that happened to you last year. This is something that can be a part of your life every day. Every day. Every day. I know I've run through this in a hurry, and I hope I explained it. There's scripture after scripture. I've just read at least one and maybe two over each one of these. There's scripture after scripture after scripture that backs up every one of these attributes of what the Holy Ghost can be in your life. Scripture after scripture after scripture that can back up the power and the things that God desires to do in your life and through your life. Some of you need to open yourself up and say, God, if there's something you want to do inside of me,
Stir up the gift that is inside of me, oh God. Lead me, oh God. Teach me, oh God. Take me to somebody that I can witness to. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit, oh God. Use me when I begin to pray, oh God, to understand that it's not just my little prayer, but there is a kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that is behind me. Help me to understand, oh God, the power that is inside of me, that it's not just something simple, but it is an almighty, awesome God that dwells in earthen vessels. Lord Jesus, that you would anoint us and use us for the glory of your kingdom. Lord, that we would stir up the anointing that is inside of us, oh God. Lord, that we would be sensitive to your spirit and to your voice. God, that you would speak to us, oh God. Lord, that you didn't make this just so that it would be a one-time experience, oh God. But your word brings time after time of what the Holy Ghost is and what the Holy Ghost can do in our lives. Lord, that we would be open to your spirit, oh God, that you would lead us and guide us. Lord, that you would change us, oh God, that we would be conformed into your image, Lord Jesus. That we would allow ourselves to get into your presence, oh God, that we are changed from glory to glory, and as we are changed, oh God, that we become sensitive to your spirit and your voice, that you can begin to use us for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If we're not careful, we can take this Holy Ghost for granted. If we're not careful, this awesome gift that God has placed in our lives can just be something that happened years ago. And we just take it for granted. But this gift can be a part of your life every day. He can help you every day. He can lead you and guide you. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter if it's which job to take. It doesn't matter how to handle your family, to raise your children, to work on your marriage. He can help you every day. Every day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to take a short break, be friendly, shake hands, and we're going to meet right back in here in a few minutes and have church in Jesus' name.